don't think we were expecting anyone else. Okay, let's get going. All right, so welcome to the July meeting for the Standing Group Leadership Team. Are there any apologies that we know of? No? Okay, any other business? Anything else you'd like to add to the agenda?
Yeah, I have something.
Yeah.
ISOC NY is up for rejuvenation almost. So.
Right. Wow. Okay. Well, that we'll definitely put that in. Okay. Anything else from anyone? No. I just want. Yes.
Sorry. I just wanted to add that our proposal has been accepted, our session proposal from our group.
Yes. Congratulations. Yes. And we might just mention that briefly in any other business as well. I think that it's exciting. We've got a couple of proposals that were approved. So that's really good. Okay, anything else? No? And Klaus has joined us too. So hello, Klaus. So we've got more or less the full leadership team. I think Kindi is probably not going to join. We haven't heard anything more. So, okay, let's get going then. So the first item on the agenda is about ISOC policy and process on accessibility of new and revised online tools. And this arose out of Jolie's comments about the Zoom events platform and then a continuation of a dialogue about that. Jolie or Judith, do you want to talk to that?
Sure, I can talk to it. Okay, well, this also relates to another item on the agenda, the accessibility policy.
Yeah, exactly. This is all tied in together.
Into that. So the problem is, okay, I think it would be helpful. Okay, so we'll give a background. In the past, many, many times, ISOC looks at a tool, tries the tool, finds out it's not accessible, said, oh, sorry, we're looking to how we can fix it. Oh, sorry, it may be too expensive. Oh, maybe we'll get around to it in the next go around. Okay, this is a continual policy that happens all the time where they look for find a tool, try the tool, find out it's not accessible. Which is why Shabir and his board member decided that we were going to try to create an accessibility policy and have some kind of policy to make sure that there's a policy written so that tools are not used without being tested, that there's an accessibility. There's a policy written that everything is going to be I'm able to pull up Shabir's words. But it's just that anything that ISOC does will be guided by something that tools have to be tested before using by accessibility. Websites or anything that ISOC touches has to be done by accessibility. There is huge, mostly from Andrew, objections to this, because Andrew is afraid of setting a precedent. And so he would rather like to hire a consultant to test everything. And then if the consultant is not a good consultant, say, oh, well, the consultant wasn't good. We're blaming on the consultant. He doesn't want to take the precedent of having an accessibility policy. but there was movement within the board, especially at the meeting when I was there discussing with them to do this. Unfortunately, you couldn't get much headway because Shabir had a really bad connection and couldn't get his points across. And they were not using a Digo, which then I instructed them, the IT person, on benefits of that. Anyway, the time passed, so we're going to have to go again. Shabir is going to still work on this because he feels it's very important.
Exactly. And I think we're sort of touching on point three on the agenda, so that's fine. One more minute.
Shabir says, it says, it was the first time, it'll be better next time. Explanation stems from the fact that the organization treats accessibility as an add-on measure and not a requirement from the start.
Exactly. And this is the problem. So, you know, talking about a policy, well, they don't really have a policy because they just let you know, start off with a new tool or there's a contract with a consultancy firm to set something up and then it's not accessible, etc. So what we wanted to do was two-pronged. We've got Shabir on the board, and it's great that he's now there for another year, and he started a discussion on the board level, and Charles Mock is very supportive as well, and I believe there are other board members who are quite supportive. So they would have a conversation on that high policy strategic level about accessibility. But what we can do is continue the work we're doing with the internal accessibility working group. We have developed the ISOC accessibility framework, and there are a number of key points there. And there's one, for example, on a development of an ISOC policy on web accessibility. There's another one. So if Jolie, if you got that accessibility framework readily available, there's another one on tools used such as web conferencing, LMS, and collaboration platforms be accessible. And this comes under the heading of ensuring minimal barriers to participation and engagement with ISOC processes and practices. So that's all there. But
that's a toolkit. The framework is now on the website. Toolkit.
The accessibility framework is should be on our website or on a Google Doc. But I think the main thing is that the meeting that some of us had with the internal working group, unfortunately, Andre Copeland wasn't there, but they were all, you know, we've got 1.1 of a framework. So there's a slightly later version, but never mind. That's okay. So we've made a number of those points, but I think what we can do is put together, because we've got the, you know, there should be, all the tools should be accessible. There should be a web accessibility policy, etc. What we can do is a practical process to say that we want to see this happen. So anytime there's a tool that will be used for the first time or a modified tool, then this should happen. And whatever that is, and that could be that a particular staff member under Andre Copeland, for example, needs to be the pivotal point for any tool that's being revised or a new one. So it doesn't have this effect of always somebody coming in and saying it's not working.
Can I get this stuff in a couple of bullet points here? So
yeah.
Judith, what was this one? Can I summarize your thing in one line?
Oh, I know. So this summary is that the lack of a policy on accessibility means that tools are not tested, tools are not vetted before they are used. That causes them tools are chosen that are not accessible, and it's only after the fact that they go scrambling. Or the discussion with the IT, the communication through Andre through the IT gets garbled in a sense, is that you were talking about Zoom events. They asked the IT about regular Zoom. Totally two different things. So they respond about that. Gunella, one thing I wanted to add to you is what Shabir was saying is why he was urging the board to have a accessibility policy. So that means that every event, every program, anything, program interalia, he says, that ISAC intends to do has to be vetted through the policy before introducing to anyone.
And I totally agree. This is something I've talked about, and I put to the I put to the board, I put to Shabir, and I used to call it an accessibility filter. But Andre Copeland uses the word, the board has one particular assessment, and that's I think it's an internet assessment for what's being done. So I've suggested, instead of calling it an accessibility filter, it can be called an accessibility assessment. So whatever word that fits best with the board, but that's fine. I'd say Shabir and Gonala actually have pushed.
Charles is pushing too.
Yes. I've talked about this accessibility filter for years. So, but anyway, beside who is doing it, the main thing is that it happens. So what I'm trying to say is we have the high level policy at the board level, which Shabir and Charles will encourage as much as they can. Then we have the accessibility framework, which goes into more detail, which we as a leadership team have developed and sent to the internal working group. And we are now needing another meeting with them to go through that. We've had one initial meeting. We need another meeting. We need to get sort of buy-in that this is something that's going to be adopted. But there's another level again where we can advise on that process for the accessibility. I wanted to say, just so we're clear, that in the framework, in the accessibility framework, we've got one bullet point that talks about incorporating an accessibility impact statement. Impact statement is a key word in policy development, as well as ISOC processes and practices. So it's there. It's already there. Okay. And Jolie, there should be a framework 1.1. So somewhere that that will be in the documents. So what I'm suggesting is that we as a leadership team can work on that process and deliver that, to be proactive and deliver that to the internal working group. And that would be how we've got the policy, but how is this process going to happen? We can just have, you know, 4 or 5 bullet points. We can go into more detail.
But we don't have a policy yet. And the board, and Andrew is very hesitant to create a policy. I had long discussions with this with Charles over the Hague, in The Hague, about this. And Andrew really doesn't want a policy. He feels there's a precedent he doesn't want to cross. He doesn't want the board telling him what to do.
He has a board for a reason.
Yes, he has a board for a reason. So that's why they have a lot of work to do to try to get a policy set out for them. But the reason is why this is why Andrew is extremely against it and pushes hard. And we lost the opportunity when Shabir could not adequately explain it to others.
Well, I gather that the opportunity isn't lost.
It is not lost.
The conversation is going to be continued on the board level. So I don't think, even though there is that the accessibility policy isn't finalized, I don't think that should stop us from practically working on a process that can assist the staff, assist Andre Copeland, who is a senior manager, with his staff to make sure that there is a little bit more assessment happening. So rather than us just saying, oh, well, you know, here it's going, here we have the same process, here we have the same problem again, you know, Joel is saying, oh, this isn't working properly on an accessibility basis. Let's be proactive. So that's what I'm saying. Let's come up with some ideas.
It has to do also the lack of this policy, and it's not complicating precedent. It's that his precedent is also he doesn't want the board to tell staff what to do, and he feels that this is in his policy-making thing, and he could sort of decide these type of things, and he doesn't want the board telling staff what to do. But this kind of thing is going to happen all the time because... Yes. It happened with the websites. Remember, they hired a consultant.
Okay. There's been all sorts of problems we know over many, many years. So
you know, it was even this year. They hired.
I know. But let's move forwards. Let's find some strategies that can help staff. Even though Andrew might be concerned, we can come up with some things, and we can talk to Andrew and the group, the working group, and say we're presenting this as a suggestion, and just have it there for ready for when the time is ripe, I'm suggesting,
Sally, is don't get confused, is Andrew Sullivan and the Andrew Copeland. When she mentions two Andrew, we should say Andrew S and Andrew C.
Yeah, I'm saying Andre Copeland and Andrew Sullivan. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So what I'm suggesting now is we know there's a problem. We've outlined that, and let's do something about it. So I'm wondering who wants to put up their hands and just write a few bullet points, suggestions, and that then we can discuss online. So who would like to initiate that?
You say suggestion, what do you mean?
I can't, there's someone speaking.
I think it was...
Hello?
Hello, who's that?
Can you hear me? Zakari.
Ah, Zakari, yes, hello. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm saying that I can work on the process.
Okay. All right, thank you. But I think that you need to have someone working with you.
Yeah. It will be great.
I'll help, Swaranya.
Swaran, yes?
Yep, okay. I'll help.
Okay, because it's good to think about...
Can you define this task again?
Yeah, I couldn't understand the task. That's why I didn't volunteer, because I couldn't understand it.
The task is to write something about the process. So what I'm saying is that any time staff within ISOC suggest or want to buy or incorporate a new tool in whatever area of ISOC it is, that there is a process for ensuring it is accessible. And it's a matter of coming up with some sort of ideas there. And I mean, it might be that there's a particular person working for Andre Copelin who would need to check things, who knows a lot about accessibility. And I know that there's a staff member who has worked on web accessibility within his team. There could be some type of reporting mechanism happening. There could be the use of an external consulting company who specializes in accessibility assessments. It shouldn't be up to Shabir or Vashka to be asked all the time to check that this tool is accessible or not. So they are the sort of things I'm thinking about that could be helpful as guiding posts for the process.
Jolly, and I sent you some verbiage from Shabir, what he liked, what he was looking at. So you have it. Yeah, that's a good idea, but I think, well, maybe the wording is like vetting. These things need to be vetting. And then, Jolly, what you may want to put in your notes is that instead of a policy, ISOC prefers to hire different consultants so that the staff doesn't have to, so that they don't have someone on staff doing this, that they could always blame someone else. Or like put the onus on someone else. Oh, it was this other person. It was a bad consultant. Oh, we have to get another consultant. And that should not be.
I'm having difficulty formulating that into a bullet point here.
Okay. Well, anyway, look at what I sent you.
Okay. So that's not a minute then.
No. Yes. You can send. I sent you a few. Bullet points or words.
Okay, I think we need to move on.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'll work with Jolie with a particular minutes. Just so we're clear on that. That's fine.
Was this item's 1, 2, and 3 we just covered?
It's 1 and 2.
Not 3.
And 3.
Yeah, 1 and 3.
Okay.
All right. So I think Zakari and Swaran have offered to put something together. It can be very brief, and it's just a starting point. And if you put something up on in a Google Doc, then and then share it with us, that would be great. And if what's a good timeline? A week, 10 days? It just has to be quite short. Is that, what do you think, Zakari and Swaran?
For me, 10 days is okay.
10 days, okay, good, thank you. Swaran, is that okay for you?
Yes, that should be okay. I just wanted some more clarity on the task. So this would be for any new tool that is launched by ISOC?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so essentially we are looking into developing standard operating procedures, right?
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. Standard operating procedures, yes.
Okay. I think that'll be very helpful because it is the SOPs that that you know essentially deploy the policies that are there. So
exactly.
So we could start. Maybe 10 days is okay just for a very brief, a simple one for whatever tools that currently exist. But I think going forward, if there would be more tools, we would need more SOPs. So. It looks like that there may be more in future. So will we always be doing this? So I mean, I'm fine with helping out in this, but I just wanted to know: is this going to be a continuous thing for our group, or will ISOC be taking responsibility?
No. It's meant to be a starting point, and it's not a different one for each new tool. It's a very it's sort of a process to help staff know that this is what they should be doing when implementing a new tool, and that's a standard operating procedure or a process normally based on an existing policy. But we can say, because that's still up in the air, we can say it's based on the proposed ISOC accessibility framework, because it's listed there in a couple of places about particular tools and platforms being accessible.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. We should also we should also differentiate that while some parts of a platform are accessible, sometimes they add different platforms that make it non-accessible. Like Zoom is accessible, but Zoom Events has problems.
Yeah, so it's implementing or new or existing or implementing
new versions
of existing tools or new tools. Yes, that's correct. Yeah, good. Okay. All right. And look, Swaran and Zakari, if there's any questions about this as you're working, just keep asking us so that you don't do a whole pile of work and it's not really the direction we were thinking of going, okay?
Okay.
Great. Okay. All right. So moving to ISOC's program progress on our action plan. That's been taking a while, and there's a lot of legal processes, it seems, involved. And Kyle Schulman, who manages the SIGs and standing groups, wants to have a meeting with me, but I'd be more than happy for any others of the leadership team to join in to discuss the various aspects. And one thing he suggested about business cards is that we we change the wording in our action plan. We add a couple of sentences, and he's helping us with that to justify that we have business cards. So I think that would be very useful to do. So again, I'm going to ask, because Sakari and Swaran are the sort of key people with the action plan, I'll forward you some of Carr's wording to amend the action plan and send it back to Kyle. So I think that would be very useful. That's all you need to put, I think, Jolie.
Say it in one sentence. Kyle, business
cards. Kyle has requested an amendment to the action plan to explain the need for business cards.
Is it not self-explanatory, business card? Why business card is needed?
You would think so, but no. For ISOC, they need an explanation. So I'm afraid we have to put that in. Yeah, you would think it is. I agree, but we have to change it. Okay, and we've been given an email address to use. And I had to sign a legal document with ISOC to do that. So, Jolie, have you checked the email address? It's through Outlook. I had a check of it, and it seems that you've already.
I'm not an Outlook user, so.
Neither am I.
Sorry that you.
But
have
is it Outlook on the web? Jolly does an Outlook version on the web.
Okay, I could.
Yeah.
Because and I use the Outlook version on the web for, and also.
You know what I'll do. What I'll do is I haven't had time to look at it, but you know I'll just get it and make it forward to my Gmail, and then make it run through my Gmail, which is what I do with all.
Right, but also Outlook, you could download it as an SMTP and add it to it. Like I have my Outlook added to my Thunderbird.
Yeah.
That would be preferable. So, yeah. So, any assistance to the rest of the team to do that, so we don't all have to be doing that, would be helpful. And we need to be clear when we do that. So the email address is accessibility@isoccommunity.org. So it means that we don't have individual email addresses. We need to use that as a block, regardless of who it is in the leadership team. So are we comfortable with using it, using that?
What is it, ISOC? At accessible community, what is it again?
No. I think I sent it around to everyone. It's accessibility@isoccommunity.org.
Oh.
Okay, so we'll continue using our accessibility, you know, leaders group. That's just a group email. This is for external use, and possibly if we get the funding for the business cards, that's the email address we would be using.
Okay. Question for you: do we have one? And I think the answer is no. That we could send emails to the whole group. So, like, ISOC wants to send out.
That's something that I raised in an earlier meeting with Kyle, and the answer was we can submit something to them and then they will email the whole group.
Yeah, because you know they want to send, Elizabeth asked me to send it out also about the,
everybody is in the community. So unless they've switched off email. So, you know, if you want to send to the group, you send in the community.
Mm. You know, I never use community.
Yeah. Well, that's the theory of it. And, you know, you're cutting off your arm to spite your face by not using community, Judith.
This community is lousy, though.
It isn't that bad, you know. And some
I have
chats,
to log in.
If you've got email switched on in your community, you can receive everything by email. And you can respond by email and never even touch, you know, the thing online.
Okay, so if Jolie, if you can check out that you're comfortable with that, and then
we have the existing, you know, SG leaders, you know, email alias. So yes. I mean, I presume it would be pretty trivial to set it up so that whatever comes into this address automatically forwards to the alias anyway, you know, so that people who even aren't on, who haven't bothered to go in and configure it, will see anything that comes in.
Yeah, it's good. You know?
So if you want, I can add that as a...
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Yeah.
The only thing is, that's for coming in, but if we want to...
Well, I think I think that even generally with stuff like this, while you take it coming in, if you're going to respond, generally you would respond from your personal email and CC the group email. Do you see what I mean? So you would respond from Gunella and CC, this email, the ISOC community email, in any response to anything. So that it's clear who's responding while at the same time everybody's still in the loop.
Oh, okay. Rather than, if I initiate an email, so that I
yeah,
think
again, I would be using, in any sending, I would be using this as a CC. And and at the same time it's basically a thing to make sure that communication is shared rather than an identity. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I see. Yes. So it's really just using it as another alias for the leadership team then.
Yeah. It's exactly the same, but it's one that is ISOC owned rather than us. So it's within the fold in their consideration. You know, and it's for them. It's them basically duplicating, you know, the work that we've already done. But they're obviously doing it. You know, it's something that's being rolled out across all the SGs, and we should just, you know, we can just go with it and fold it into our process. Do you see what I mean?
Okay. So, all right. That's fine. And so. So if we are sending out emails, we send from that accessibility@isoccommunity.org email address, CC.
You send from your own email address and CC that address.
Ah, yes. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. And then yeah, so there wouldn't have to be any checking that we have to go into Outlook.com separately or anything like that. Okay. All right, that's fine. So there's still a lot we're waiting to hear from Kyle about certainly the marketing, which is going to happen through ISOC rather than us doing it separately, it seems. So that's something that we'll hear soon from Kyle. And I think it's really, really good if we can set up a meeting where a number of us are talking to Kyle about that. Okay, so anything else we want to talk about the action plan at this stage? No. Okay, agenda item 4 relates to the disability leadership training, and certainly Vashkar and I were very, very much involved with this in Dhaka, Bangladesh, and yeah, I mean, I formulated the training and so forth. And yeah, Judith, you've got your hand up.
Yeah. So I think one other thing we may want to do for the next training is, so I've been following some of the traffic that, you know, was posted when they posted the declaration on APRIGF. And I think we might want to make it clear for the next one that that different stakeholder, that we inform different stakeholders in APR. We send a pre-message to the APRIGF saying this is happening, but invited stakeholders are X, because all these stakeholders got bent out of shape and started bad-mouthing it because they didn't know anything about it, or they are, or that's not happening, or they are not general members and they didn't know about it. So I think we need to send a pre-message before we start it, saying this is happening, it's only selected groups, but we just want to let you know that this is happening, so that way we don't get screamed at the end.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and
is that a point, or shall I?
I think that's a point.
Judith notes something.
Yeah, I note that we need to send out notes before the leadership training to the APRIGF main list, to our accessibility standing group main list. We have to send it through Andrew Copeland, through whoever, that this is happening, and to inform our members that this is happening, and to form the APRIGF.
But this was an in-person event. This wasn't an online event. So everybody.
Right, it was in-person event.
So, I mean, everybody who knew about it, you know.
Yeah, but
was
then.
Invited and attended. It wasn't like a.
No,
you know.
It was a close list.
Okay, let me clarify this. Let me clarify. And Vashkar, I'd like you to follow up as well. This was a pilot workshop. We have a partnership with the Asia Pacific School of Internet Governance. We have discussed this in our leadership team. I encouraged APSIC to do this and set up the partnership, and I devised the workshop program. Vashkar helped to find the right people from disability organizations in Bangladesh. We had a local host from the Bangladesh ISOC chapter, and then we also selected people based on certain criteria from Sri Lanka, India, Nepal, Pakistan, and of course Bangladesh. And this was a pilot. We're applying for funds to roll it out on a person-to-person workshop level in those countries, plus Afghanistan, if we get the funding, which we should hear about by the end of September. So we have to be clear that there were really only two organizations in Bangladesh that unfortunately hadn't been informed by the local host. And that was the Bangladesh IGF and the Bangladesh School of Internet Governance. The response from just about everyone else in the APRIGF was extremely positive. There was one member who is a member of our standing group and also in Bangladesh who hadn't heard about it. But what Vashkar is doing is writing a couple of paragraphs summarizing the workshop, and that will be sent out to our membership, and that will also say that we'll link to the Dhaka Declaration. We'll talk about the next steps, and so people hopefully will be comfortable with that. Vashka, can you add anything, please?
Yes, thank you very much. I think as a first initiative, we had also less experience on organizing this workshop. Even though myself, I'm Gunala, not the local host. There is a local host, is ISOC Bangladesh. According to them, they already talked with the IG of Bangladesh chapter and also School of Internet Governance, according to the local host. But these two organizations are saying that they are not informed properly. Even I got the phone call, and as I have relation with them, they are asking me like, why you avoid us, even though I'm not the part of the local organizing group. So I think there was some miscommunication with the local host and the other chapter, because that's not basically our issues. I think they are not able to manage it properly. Secondly, in the next time, of course, we will inform everybody, because and we can organize the opening or closing program where we can invite some of the people, and they can come and gather together. Then they will get some kind of feelings of involvement. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Vashka. I totally support what you're saying there. And yeah, we have to keep this in mind. It was a pilot workshop, and sometimes a few things get missed. And we'll keep on moving ahead, because there's a lot of potential to do this in more detail in each of the countries I've mentioned. Any questions about that?
So yes, the one thing I thought was that we should have formally kind of announced this as a group, which is not something that we particularly did. And I should have probably stuck it on the website, but I didn't, because I thought maybe a sort of debrief was coming down from the people who had attended. So I guess I should put it as an action item, is to at least stick it on the SG website.
Yes.
Just a link to the declaration and that photo of the people there, and a couple of sentences that it happened, at least.
I totally agree, and I think what's happened is that there was a lot of work following up from a workshop. I spent a lot of time writing the workshop report, and then that's like only a week ago. That's when it needed to go up on the website. And certainly I think I sent around the Dhaka Declaration to the leadership team. So that will...
Can I just confirm the spelling of Dhaka? Is it D-H-A-K-A?
Yes, it's D-H-A-K-A. The other spelling is in Senegal and Africa.
So it's no R on the end.
No, that's correct. Okay. Exactly. So thank you, Zakari, for noting that.
Also, thanks to congrats to Vasco for being named a fellow for the APR IGF.
Yes, definitely. Yes, so that this is.
I have just awarded for the fellowship.
It's excellent. You. It's really excellent, and I'm sure Vasco will make an impact at APR IGF, and it's fortunate that the APR IGF are quite open to disability participation, and we want to keep on encouraging that, and encouraging further fellows to participate. Okay, all right. So we now come to the ISOC Community Week, and I'll hand over to Vashka to talk about that.
Thank you, Gunilla. And we has submitted a proposal to organize a session with the leadership of Gunilla. That was like accessibility of web and e-service. And so our session was awarded. We are planning to give a presentation on accessible and inaccessible websites. And we would like to talk a little bit about the international standard and international commitments for ensuring accessibility. We'd like to give a demonstration and how accessible websites look like and how inaccessible websites and what kind of barrier people with disabilities are facing by for using websites, etc. And also, we among us, the Shabir, the Board of Trustees of Internet Society, will join, and he also give a speech. And Gunilla will moderate the whole session, and there will be interaction with the audience. So this is the plan, and hopefully we'll be able to successfully complete this.
Thank you. And certainly that's something to promote with our membership as well. So we've got a few things to send out to our membership in the next week or so. So that's really quite exciting. Okay. So we'll move on to admin, and I just wanted to remind everyone that we are starting to become active in a lot of areas, and please, when you have done something on behalf of the standing group, please go to the Google Doc and add it to the activities list. So at the end of the year, when we're reporting, and that's Zakari and Swaran responsible for, it will make it so much easier for everyone concerned that everything is already written in there. So this just a reminder about that. is there anything else under admin that you'd want to raise, please? No? All right. Now, with any other business, we're very fortunate that with the APRIGF, we've got two confirmed workshops. One is led by Swaran. And do you want to say a couple of words about that, Swaran?
Yes. So, we're really pleased to know that our proposals have been accepted. So we have some work to do on that. I'll be sharing more details later. But before I go on to that, I've received an email from Christine asking if I'll be attending in person. Excuse me. So I just wanted to know, do we have funding available for this, for us to attend in person?
No, we don't, unfortunately.
Okay, so I'll have to ask if my university is willing to pay for this. So I'll ask them tomorrow. Let's see how it goes. If not, then I might have to do this virtually. But then again, my only concern is that there have been, you may have been reading the emails about the session proposals and how they wanted more opportunities to be given to applicants outside of APRIGF leadership committees and all. So yes. My only concern is that if I'm not there in person, then that opportunity might go to somebody else, given that we have two proposals from our group.
So you're saying that if you ask the university for funding, that it's an issue for you? Or
I will ask. I'm not sure if it's going to be approved or not, but I will ask tomorrow. But if I do not have funding available for this, then I'm just a little worried that if I don't have funding and if our group doesn't fund my trip either, then I think it'll be better if Ganela, if you could lead it, because if I'm not there in person, if one of us is not there in person, then our slot may be given to somebody else. Because as it is, there's a lot of pressure by the Great IPRGF committee saying that there should be more opportunities for session slots for people outside of IPRGF committee.
Ah, yes. I see what you mean. I thought that the workshop proposals were actually totally confirmed, regardless of if the organizer was there in person.
Because if I can do it virtually, I can still manage it virtually, no problems with that. But I'll still ask, because I've also been selected as a backup.
Do we know the topics of these two workshops?
Yes, we do. I'm just going to have to fetch that out for you, the complete information. Basically, mine is on ensuring more visibility and more access to STEM related job opportunities for persons with disabilities. So we've got APNIC and I've got quite a lot of information, and then I can send it across to the rest of us. And then there's one by Vashkar and Ganela.
Yeah, I'll carry on with that one. So Swaran's is really on pathways to employment in the IT industry, and STEM comes into that. So there'll be speakers from APNIC, from APRICOT, and I've forgotten the other person. So that's one. And the other one is about disability leadership training in digital rights and internet governance, which is totally based on the partnership that the standing group has with APSIG and the work we've done with the pilot workshop and our plans for the future. So that will be led by me and with Satish Babu, and the one that unfortunately didn't get up was Vashkar's about public procurement in ICT, but I think with Vashkar can probably participate strongly in the two other workshops and raise public procurement issues in regard to employment and in regard to digital rights. So we'll have to work on that. And I must say, I haven't got direct funding to go to Singapore either. So I'm still looking at options there.
I have another thing to put in. It looks like the proposal that I was working on with the other guy, person from Ghana, we didn't get selected in the global IGF, although they're not out yet. I've asked someone who was there, and they checked the list, and it didn't seem like it was on the list of accepted one.
No, I had a look too. And I suppose being a previous MAG member, I sort of had a bit of access to what the proposals were and which ones were accepted. And I couldn't see that there were certainly nothing from that man from Ghana, unfortunately. I couldn't even see that there was a proposal.
Oh, no, the proposal was on the list. The problem he had there is that it was his first time and he didn't tag us correctly. So it just says someone from WEAG. It didn't have names of people. He had a little trouble. He got Shabir's, he got the speakers right, but the organizers and the other people he didn't get right. And so he had a little issue there in tagging people correctly. and in putting other people in there. But I don't think any accessibility proposals got put in.
There was only one, and it happened to be one from the App Association that has had successful proposals twice in the past with different speakers, and I've part of that panel, but right. I am disappointed that there is very, very little disability content at the IGF.
What about DCAD? Do they have something?
Oh no, we have nothing because we didn't. We're failing. That's a different story. 1 minute. The person I was discussing with, I forgot who it was, said there was a whole bunch of P things. I didn't want to make waves, but there was a whole bunch of discussion where the gender people were upset there wasn't enough gender in them, and they were arguing, and they got success in getting some more gender stuff in there. And they thought that we should have argued for accessibility the same way and sending a note to the MAG list to saying the same thing, that we're disappointed when this is such an important issue that accessibility is not, didn't get any of these proposals on there. And that's an effort should be made for that. But I don't want to do it
That's fine. And Klaus, you've got your hand up.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to say that, for example, on the proposal page, this was a staff member of me who is visually impaired tried to fill in that, and for him it was really impossible to fill in all the formulas, the forms that you have there on the site, and to follow the process. So the process of applying for all these stuff is really not accessible at all. Yeah? So it didn't this person per se to do this, yeah.
Could you write this to me in a note, and I will send it to Louis, because he needs to know that, and Shangatai, because they don't know that. They tested the website beforehand, and the website was tested for accessibility, but I don't think the form was. And so that's the problem.
Was a guy working with JAWS, or another, I don't know.
It wasn't JAWS, it was some kind of
screen reader, yeah.
So, Klaus, if you could write me a note, I will make sure it gets forwarded to Louis and Shangatai and everyone who needs.
Yeah, that's the reason why we, for example, we had three different proposals, which were incomplete. The first two ones were incomplete because he sent it the first two ones. Yeah, they were incomplete, and then only the third one, when I was sitting there, then we could complete it fully. Yeah, and it was sent out. Yeah.
Yeah, so I will then send out that note to Shangatai, to Louis, Anya, the rest of the
I will send it to you, okay? Okay.
Okay, thank you, Klaus. And it's a continuing issue.
Did I understand it right? The process of selection of the different sessions is now completed?
Yes.
Okay. So if I have got anything from until now, I'm not choosing.
Yes, that is correct. Okay. Well, we could. So the problem also they have is that the room is a lot smaller than it was in the other place, and so they can't have as many sessions, and so they had to cut everything down to the bone, and I think they may even be cutting some more stuff, but. The issue is we have to raise the issue, and I can still raise it with Shangatai and the others, because Shangatai is interested, but he just can't. It's the MAG who's doing the other thing, but that's what was mentioned in the MAG group, and it was told that I should write a note and complain like Gender did, but I was like, that's not what I'm going, you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yes. I mean, from my bitter experience with the IGF and the inaccessibility of a website, this is an ongoing issue. So I think what Klaus's comments on that are very important.
Right, and I want to make sure that they get heard.
Yeah. So that's something that the IGF needs to continue hearing. Okay, thank you for that. And it is disappointing that we're not getting any more. Very, very few at the IGF topics on disability and accessibility. Okay, so I think then we come to the final. I think we can raise privacy at the next meeting. The final one is Jolie about the possible rejuvenation of a New York chapter, which sounds a little bit of a worry to me. Can you explain further?
Well, because I still run the admin for ISOC NY, I was CC'd on this. So there was a message from ICEA and Nick, who's the European guy, to ISOC NY saying that they were, if they didn't cross their T's and dot their I's, on their evaluations, they'd be up for rejuvenation. This was something like last Wednesday. And I immediately messaged Greg and said, well, I responded to them saying, you know, this was a sad state of affairs from our once flagship chapter to be, you know, how are the mighty fallen? And they needed a kick in the butt, in my opinion, because they are basically a do-nothing chapter since I got out. But I messaged Greg privately and said, you know, if he wants to make me an AMS admin, I'd see if I could, you know, sort it out. And he said, yes, I'll do that tonight. And after which, I said, let's talk. And he didn't do it, and we haven't talked. And
you have to keep bothering Greg.
So I mean, the fact is that now that he's taken on the ALAC, you know, as well as the day job.
No, he's not ALAC. He's head of Neuralo.
Oh, whatever he's, you know.
He's now ALAC, but he's rotating off and is going to be head of Neuralo.
Oh. So anyway, getting, you know, I'm as a past president of the chapter, you know, and someone who's a contractor to ISOC, I'm a little bit sort of compromised, but I do, you know, but on the other hand, you know, what does it mean to us? Well, you know, if they go into rejuvenation, it just means that they're not chartered, which means they don't get any money until they sort themselves out, but it doesn't basically change, you know, the fact that ISOC NY is a 501c3. And so it just means that we would not be via ISOC NY be able to apply for ISOC funds. But on the other hand, I think that's a fairly remote possibility in that we can't even, you know, get them to, like, you know, lift a finger to help themselves.
Right. Okay. And we don't have Mensa to do. And we have money in the bank there. And no one has organized any events on accessibility SIG because our program guy has gone AWOL.
There's several things here, and I think we need to differentiate what relates specifically to the standing group. And
no,
I think for
nothing relates.
A number of other members of a leadership team are sort of wondering, why is the New York chapter relevant to the standing group? And I mean, it's Jolie's connections and so forth, and it's also the history of our predecessor, which is the accessibility SIG, and then we come into this relationship with DCAD, which is IGF.
That's the
Dynamic Coalition on Disability and Accessibility, and that is a separate conversation that Jolie, Judith, and Greg and I need to have, and that doesn't relate to the standing group. So I think I'm concerned about it with another hat on, but I don't know if it directly affects the standing group.
No, we just take a note. Okay, I've added it as a note. Okay.
Yeah,
it doesn't affect the standing group at all.
No. Okay. All right.
Okay, the web, I think Judith raises a valid point about the webinar program. So what about that?
Yeah, the programs were, we have a lot of ideas. A lot of people want to do programs, but our program guy has been AWOL. And I just don't have the time. Since I'm putting the time in the standing room, I don't have time for the SIG to like push people to organize stuff. But if others do, please, we are happy to put you on a program committee. We do have funds in ICE that we had gotten last year from ISAC NY that we've never used.
Okay. And I think the thing is there that we also have applied for funds from the standing group to do webinars. So I think when, Jolie, when you say we have funds, that's the accessibility SIG. That's not the standing group. So we
well,
need
I thought
to...
We put something, I thought we put something in the action plan that we were going to run some webinars.
We are. Yeah. And, but that is funding that would come for the standing group from ISOC. It's not existing funding for the SIG. So we need to separate that because that's not the standing group. And that's something I think we can talk about at our next meeting to be clear about what planning we should do there. So yeah, so I think that's all we can do for now. And then let's have...
Unala?
Yeah. Yes?
If you permit me.
Yes, go ahead, Ashka.
I already proposed one webinar with Bangladesh A2I, my A2I program of ICT division and SSG. I think I send you a idea.
Yes, you did.
So yes. If you, I think we can discuss later how we can go, and if team permit, then we can plan for this webinar for Bangladesh. Thank you.
Yeah, that's national.
I also have a sort of vaguely, you know, proposed a webinar to, in response to, what's his face? The David, I think his name is, the European guy posted in our community about the European Declaration on, I've lost it now, but you know, you saw it, right? I put it on the website. So just, I'll just go. So the WADEX, the European Commission's WADEX, so they made the Web Accessibility Directive and so on. So it's a major kind of declaration of policy. So I thought this would be at least something that should be discussed. So
Sorry to jump in here.
And Klaus
Excuse me. I have to correct it. The WEDEX is the group for the surveillance of the implementation of the Web Accessibility Directive. Yeah. The Web Accessibility Directive was set into force in 2018. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it has not been implemented within the European Union's members, the 27. And the WADEX group is a group which is composed out of members of the ministries which are responsible for the implementation of the WADEX in the different countries. That means there are legal officers, for example, from Austria, it's from the social ministry, sitting into the WADEX, and the WADEX is doing reports about implementation.
Okay, well, this is more than we knew, and so my point is that basically we've never been informed about this European Web Accessibility Directive, and I think it would be a good topic for a webinar.
I can propose you if you want. I can give you an overview about the European legislation. Yeah?
Okay.
And within the group, within one of the next few sessions that we have. so that you have an overview which is in place now, because we not only have the Web Accessibility Directive, we have also the European Accessibility Act and the EN 301-549, which is for public procurement. And this EN 301-549 was the blueprint for Kenya. In Kenya, there is also a standard now implemented.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about too.
That's from Irene Kiriki. She leads an organization sitting in Washington D.C. and in Kenya in Nairobi. And there was in April, I think, a conference about this in Nairobi, where I was there and could had the opportunity to speak about it. So if you want to have any overview about these legal or standardization things, I'm very happy to give you an overview about all these things and to send you also my presentations that I have made for this, where you have the links for all these legal things that we have here in Europe.
Klaus, thank you, and I'm wondering, could you lead a webinar on that and maybe include the Kenyan speaker, and also explain the reason why this is important, not only for Europeans, but also for any company that contracts to provide some web tool in Europe, that they need to then make it accessible. Is that right?
I don't think that it really makes sense to speak about these things and to include also the Kenyan guys, because please, one thing, because EN 301-549 was also implemented in Canada, in Australia, and New Zealand, and perhaps it would be good to make a series.
I'd say the same.
That we say, okay, first we have all these legal frameworks that we have in Europe, and there is an upcoming very, very interesting thing, because we will have an accessibility center set up by the European Union by autumn this year, where we have a kind of supervisory report and a legal official supervisory report, which is where the members are sent by the member states. Committed by the European Parliament. But to be back in the loop, I think it would be good first to have an overview about all these legal things that we have here in Europe, and then to bring the non-European speakers on board, and perhaps to invite Australia,
when would you like to do that?
Yeah, after the summer holidays.
So September.
In September.
Yeah. So the money we have in that, we could use an accessibility SIG funding. We could do it. We also have funding for captioning and sign language.
Yeah, it would be good to have. It depends. It depends who is on board and who will be exactly. Only within the group, or do we open it out of the group too?
We open it outside the group.
Okay.
We don't get that many people, and we don't get that many response and sign language, but we offer it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we have to. We've only made arrangements, but for either BS, we've only have contract. We could always do other one, but what the funding was usually just for a ASL or BSL.
Okay.
I'm prepared to work with Klaus on that.
Okay. Fantastic. That's really good. Okay. So we then, if we're talking about September, we probably need to be aware that we've got a lot of events happening in September. We've got ICANN. Yeah, we've got APRIGF and so forth in our region. So it either could be early September, which I think might be too difficult just coming straight out of the European holidays. So if I could make a suggestion to make it early October would be great. And And we would know, I hope, in the next week or two or three, about funding for the standing group for our webinars. And I think we put in for three. So we need to see how we use those funds as against the SIG funds. And that's
why the SIG funds has been there for over a year. They have to be used.
Which means that we've got more webinars to organize to cover for presumably the funding we'll get for the standing group. So we'll work it out. That's fine. But the important thing is we've got some great topics. So Klaus and Joel will be on that.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, because it fits to things I said before. When we do a kind of webinar series where we speak about legal framework and we speak about how it was implemented in other regions of the world, for example, then we have also to speak about standardization and standardization issues and where we should.
Sorry. What was that word?
Standardization in, for example, in the all the standardization bodies that we have, yeah, from ISO to ITU to CENELEC and so on. There are a lot of ongoing activities now at the moment which are related to all these legislation things. For example, in Europe, the EN301549 is a standard. Standard set up by the CENELEC, by the European standardization bodies, but all the laws are referring to it. So these are two interconnected things. You can't think about the legislation without thinking about standardization. The one doesn't work with the number, doesn't work with the other thing. And when we are doing this series, I think we have to develop a series of at least two or three, let's say half or one hour webinars where I can show, for example, what's going on in this field, and perhaps somebody can also tell us what is about Australia, what is about South America, and so on and so on. What are the ongoing efforts that we have there?
I think that sounds great, Klaus. And certainly, I did a research study 10 years ago about EN301549. And what's happened in Australia since then. So I think it's great. I think that's a really good topic to cover over two or three webinars. So that's something to work on. Very positive, very concrete. I think we need to wrap up. I just wanted to check with everyone about the next meeting. Being some parts of the Northern Hemisphere are having summer holidays, are we going to be okay to have a meeting, say, on the 4th of August, or are people going to be away? Are we going to leave it till early September instead?
Let's do August. Because
as long as we get people coming, that's all. So who can't make a meeting on the 4th of August? Okay, Klaus can't.
This is going to be...
Anyone else who can't?
In Europe, it's summer holidays. All over Europe, it's summer holidays. Yeah.
Exactly. And you're the only European at the moment.
What time is it again?
We're going to alternate, so it would be 2300 UTC, which
that's good.
Yeah. That's not at night for Swaran. That's the only thing. That would be 11 a.m. or something.
I have to apologize myself because I'm at the 4th of August. I'm sitting on the Isle of Skye on the border on the seaside in Scotland. So, and I don't think there will be any internet access there.
No, you don't want to have internet access there, Klaus. No. So that's fine. Is there any other time in August that would be better, that could accommodate more people? I think, let's see. When would Klaus be more easily available in August?
After the
15th.
The 15th is the last big holiday in Austria. And after the 15th, people are coming back to the offices.
Okay, all right. So if we look at then, that's a Thursday. Okay.
15th of August is a Monday.
Yeah, but it's a public holiday.
Okay. I think I can do early that week. Yeah, I can do 15th or 16th.
He said 15th is the holiday.
Okay. 15th is the holiday. 15. Right.
Okay. So How can anyone not make it on the Wednesday, the
17th.
Tuesday or Wednesday, 16th or 17th of August?
Wednesday, that's a month. Wednesday 17th. Yeah, I can do it. I have IPN sick. That's over at 6 p.m.
1:07 is okay for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which time?
2300
UTC means 1 o'clock in the morning for me.
Yeah, that's a bad one for you.
Mm. So maybe wait a minute. Can we do it August 4th? Since he can't make it because it's 2300.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because I think it will have to be that with Klaus with a bad time, it might have to be alternate meetings with you.
If I'm the only one, do it that August 4th, and then we can have a conversation, or we can even conversation about the next meeting. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go back then to the 4th of August and at 2300. And then any planning for the webinar series we can do after the middle of August.
Are we going to make these 90-minute meetings since they're actually always 90 minutes?
No, we're not. We're not. We are.
If you have a 60-minute meeting and it's always going
to be 90. I totally agree. I don't want to have 90-minute meetings.
60 is better.
Yeah, but then it's also wrong to, we know it's going to extend, and so we should actually do something. We should schedule it.
Just divide the time for agenda-wise, like 5 minutes or 10 minutes for one agenda, not more than that.
I agree. Some agenda items, we go into far too much detail. Okay. All right. So we've agreed Tuesday, the 4th of August at 2300 UTC.
I've got the 4th of August as a Thursday.
Yeah. We've tried to have meetings.
Thursday, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, all right. So let's not linger any longer.
One question: is anybody of you at one of the conferences in a big conference in autumn, for example, am I neighborly? And what should it be?
No. I used to go in one in Washington, but lately it's in, when is it? Is it in August?
No, it's in October.
Yeah, I can't do October. I'm booked solid in October.
Okay.
Yeah, Greg went 1 year.
I've been a couple of years. It's a conference, but I am my October is all. They used to have it in June, and then they moved it up.
I know they have it. Normally they have it in June because it was 1 week before the COSP. Yeah. Always, right. But now because of COVID, it all changed a little bit. But I think next
October year it will be again. Is all booked by other people, other groups.
Okay. Okay.
So, Klaus, are you going to go?
Yeah, I'm in the GLC, I'm in the Global Lead. So.
Okay.
Global Lead Council is a kind of supervisory board of IWAP. And IWAP is a sister company of C3ICT, which is organizing the M&A building.
Yeah, okay. Because I think that's a good conversation to have if there's particular representations you can make on behalf
That's another thing we should talk about, because I'm really sitting in different as you are in different councils and so on from different organizations in European as well as in other ones, and when I should how can I a little bit spread more the idea of our group and what we are doing. If there is any possibility to make a stand-up presentation, which I can give when I'm there, then it would be very good.
I would be delighted on behalf of a standing group if you could do that, and it would be talking a bit about the Internet Society, talking about our action plan. And so forth. So, yes. So I think that's the conversation we can have online.
We have to have it soon, I think, because the next conference is starting in the first week of September. We are in Israel, and there will be about 1,000 persons there from Israel and from all over the world. Yeah, and perhaps there will be the opportunity to make a short presentation about the ISOC, yeah. But we have I only want to make it if it's agreed within the group.
Okay. Is there anyone who doesn't agree with Klaus's suggestion?
What was his suggestion?
It's in the first week or the second week of September, there is a so called Access Israel Convention in Tel Aviv. Access Israel Convention is a relatively big conference with about
How do you spell that?
Access Israel. Access.
Okay.
Like Israel, yeah. Convention. And they have between 900 and 1,100 people from all over the world, mainly from Israel and from the United States. Yeah.
Are you going?
I'm there because I'm involved in there's also a group. Called Gales, and I'm involved there, as one of the international members.
So, what are we proposing?
Yeah, I would like to perhaps to say, okay, I have half an hour to speak to them about what we are doing, and that we want to have other countries and other persons or organizations also involved in there. And that's really mainly about, it's not like ISOC where you speak about the internet. That's about really only about accessibility. Yeah? There are 1,000 people coming together speaking about accessibility. Yeah.
And what we would encourage is that there would be more people joining as members of the standing group. There's no cost involved, but it means that our representation is bigger. Hello. There could be informal partnerships set up with other key regional and international groups, and it's really promoting what the standing group is doing. So I certainly think it's a very, very good opportunity.
You were away for 10 seconds, okay. But if there is any possibility, then let's work perhaps you can agree on a presentation, which I can do. Yeah?
What you're saying is slides, basically.
Pardon?
Slides is what you're talking
about. Slides, a slide deck.
Well, I think that's something we can work on offline.
That's the same time as Community Week. So
yeah, it's a bad week.
Well, no, but if we're going to work on stuff for Community Week, perhaps this could spin off from that as well at the same time.
I think that what Community Week we're doing is quite different, in that Vashka will be talking about, he will be demonstrating how a screen reading program works, and he will talk about the barriers on web accessibility. There will be a presentation. Well,
anyway, I'm going to put this down as a task for Gunilla.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Perhaps we can have Jolie or Gunilla, we can have a trilateral Zoom within the next weeks.
I think that would be good
to speak about it. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah.
Not to extend it to extend too long now our meeting. You know.
No, we don't.
Nearly 2 hours. Okay. Sorry.
No, definitely not. Okay. So if Klaus, you could do a doodle for in the next week or so for a particular time. That'd be great.
Julie and you. Julie is also involved.
Well, you don't really need me.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think it's only Klaus and me. And that makes the time zones a lot easier too.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. All right. That sounds really good. Okay, apologies for the lengthy meeting, but we need to be cognizant of shorter agenda item discussions. So we'll meet again on the 4th of August at 2300. Thank you and good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.